From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Morning Edition.
We're one state among many. We can't do it alone.
People across California are in mourning after four mass shootings in a week. Why some activists say that California's strict gun laws may not be enough to prevent future tragedies. People try to build community in San Francisco's Bayview neighborhood with a celebration of both Black History Month and the Lunar New Year. And President Biden evokes his own experience with painful loss as he speaks with the family of Tyre Nichols, the man beaten to death by police in Memphis. Good morning. It is Sunday, January 29. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Devin Feely. Let's start with a quick check of our weather with First Alert meteorologist Darren Pack.
Well, there's a weak weather system moving through the Bay today, and on the one hand, sure, we're likely going to see a few light showers today. It's not going to be the main aspect about today's weather, but since you might get a drop of rain, whether you're inland Bay or coast, it could happen anywhere, probably more numerous as we get into the afternoon. That's the headline, and you can see what it looks like on the Futurecast. Right as we get towards the late morning, we'll see some more widespread showers. And then by the time we get towards about sunset, it'll be done. But the bigger issue with this is the wind. I want to talk to you about the wind advisory. And I'll see you with that in the complete First Alert forecast in just a few minutes.
We begin this morning with a developing story out of Southern California. Los Angeles police are investigating a deadly shooting in which three people were killed and four were wounded. Now, police say evidence found at the scene suggests this was a shootout. Neighbors near Beverly Hills say they first heard gunfire around 2:30 a.m. yesterday morning. Now, when police arrived at Beverly Crest neighborhood, they found three people dead inside of a car parked in front of a multi-million dollar home. Officials are still waiting to identify the victims. LAPD says the suspect or suspects are still at large and they have no information about them.
The evidence at scene, there's casings from guns, so we can confirm that this was a gun battle. Or the victims were shot.
I drove up the hill and I saw all the cops and I literally was like, are they filming something? Because it just I didn't think. And then I saw news and a coroner and police cars all down this entire street. And I knew something bad had happened.
Now, all of this comes a week after a mass shooting that killed 11 people in Monterey Park. That's about 20 miles from the shooting in Beverly Crest. Now, this is the sixth mass shooting this month in California. Four of those shootings happened in just the past week, two of them in the Bay Area in Half Moon Bay and another in Oakland. California has the strictest gun laws in the country, but are they really enough to stop mass killings? Now, I spoke with advocates and gun violence survivors.
We need a strong assault weapon ban across the country.
Ruth Borenstein is a legislation chair for Brady, California. She says a patchwork of lax state laws weakens the effectiveness of the tough gun control measures California has enacted.
We're one state among many. We can't do it alone. And if somebody can just cross the border and bring back a whole host of things that aren't legal here, we can't stop it.
With three mass shootings in California in the span of a single week, it does beg the question, what's going on? And what can be done to stop it?
Every time there's any kind of a mass shooting, it's horrible.
Alan Hinman survived the 1993 mass shooting at 101 California Street in San Francisco. His activism is an outgrowth of that experience, and he believes that tough gun laws can be a deterrent.
We need to make punishment for using these weapons in any kind of a crime so strong that you just don't want to go there.
The sad and sobering reality many gun control advocates say is in the absence of strong federal nationwide laws, we will continue to be vulnerable to the tragic shootings that have plagued the state this past week. A number of new gun laws in California are set to take effect either this year or next. Gun sales on state-owned property is now prohibited. People convicted of child abuse or elder abuse cannot own a gun for 10 years, and 3D printing of guns is now illegal without a license. Gun dealers can expect a government inspection at least every 3 years. And new laws require schools to be transparent about perceived threats and implement a stronger response. Now, the violent start of the year has put communities on edge. John Ramos checked in with people at a combined celebration in San Francisco's Bayview neighborhood marking Black History Month and the Lunar New Year.
This event in San Francisco's Bayview district was designed to bring two communities together who don't always see eye to eye. Bayview Hunters Point is San Francisco's most concentrated African-American neighborhood, so you might be surprised by the entertainment they had at the kickoff to Black History Month. A traditional Chinese lion dance. Welcome to the 13th annual Black History and Lunar New Year Festival. The local YMCA began hosting the event in 2010 after tensions were running high between African Americans and Asians following a high-profile crime incident.
We needed to do something to bridge the gap between the Black African American and Asian community.
The program combined performing arts from both cultures. African American residents were treated to a display of traditional Chinese Tai Chi, and Asian guests experienced music and dance from the Black community.
We used this opportunity to really uplift each other's cultural history so we can really come together and build community and build trust.
That trust is needed more than ever as both groups reel from recent tragedies. The mass shootings in Monterey Park and Half Moon Bay have reignited the fear Asian people suffered after a rash of anti-Asian violence in 2021. And now the Black community is once again dealing with the death of another young man at the hands of police, this time in Memphis.
All this rift or differences is very, it's a reality, but then it's also, there's a lot of perceptions.
Eddie Zhang helped found the joint celebration as a way to focus on positive cultural differences rather than just the negative ones.
The fear is still here, so people is afraid to go out to really to go to big events. Yeah. So then the fact that people are here today is a testament of people saying that we want to take power. We don't want fear and violence to be the driving force for us, and we want to focus on love and we want to focus on racial solidarity.
The thought here was that if reconciliation is to occur, it will come from the young people.
Events like this like can show like that Black Africans, we're open to all communities.
Are things still kind of tense between the two communities?
Yeah.
What do you think can change that?
By both of the communities coming together and making peace.
Their cultural differences are real, but both groups have suffered violence and injustice throughout their histories. Perhaps that shared struggle can be a place where they can find common ground.
People have taken to the streets around the country this weekend to protest the death of Tyre Nichols. The 29-year-old died in the hospital after being severely beaten by police in Memphis. Now, before moving to Memphis, Nichols lived in Sacramento, where he is being remembered for his smile, his warmth, and his wit.
He had this very amazing smile and very joyful. Like, he never had cliques. He just kind of loved everybody.
It's just sad. He was kind, and I think the other thing is, you know, our son was young at that time. There was a large age gap between those two, but the fact that Tyre would take the time to spend time with younger kids, and he just was likable and sweet.
Now, on Friday, a video was released showing the deadly beating, and now the police chief has permanently deactivated the unit that was involved, but there are still calls for more action. Now, a warning. The video that you're about to see can be disturbing. CBS reporter Jared Hill is in Memphis with the latest.
The Memphis Police Department is disbanding the so-called Scorpion Unit, involved in the violent traffic stop that led to the death of Tyre Nichols. It's a move that demonstrators in Memphis and Nichols' family have been calling for. But members of the community say action shouldn't stop there.
So the multi-level gang unit, the organized crime unit, all work under the same umbrella as the Scorpion unit, and they all be disbanded as well.
About 30 officers were part of this unit, which focused on violent offenders in high crime areas. G.A. Hardaway, who represents Memphis in the Tennessee State Legislature, is demanding more transparency.
Who decided that we needed a Scorpion unit with that kind of leeway, with just a Wild Wild West attitude?
Five police officers have been fired and are facing second-degree murder charges. Several firefighters and sheriff's deputies have been put on leave pending investigations.
The police chief told CBS News she questions the reason officers gave for pulling Nichols over in the first place, alleged reckless driving.
And it's very puzzling for me that I don't have the information that I need to at least understand what started this.
A Memphis city councilman is calling for the unidentified officer who tased Nichols to be fired as well. Jared Hill, CBS News, Memphis, Tennessee.
President Biden spoke to the Nichols family by phone on Saturday. He talked about the loss of his own son, Beau, and how it's never easy to lose a loved one.
Mom, Zach, if I can get a piece of advice.
Yes, sir.
It get really rough. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Okay.
So, you know, this is like if you were in a battlefield and something happened to you. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's called post-traumatic stress. A lot of people end up anyway. I hope you guys can come and see me someday. So, I'd love to meet you.
Well, when you invite us to the White House, we'll be there.
You're invited right now.
Okay.
Well, we'll be there.
Now, the president added that this tragic event is going to leave an impact on children everywhere. Nichols' mother said her son had her name tattooed on his arm, and the president replied, quote, "That's what you call something special."